Welcome to the Powell Bros Movie Reviews, brought to you by our supporters at Patreon. In case you have been under a rock, the world around us is in ruins. A nihilistic worldview permeates the film industry. Sodomites control the cultural narrative. Corporations run by sexual perverts and money launderers are constantly pumping out garbage content in order to entertain us. But we here at the Powell Bros are over it. We want to give honest reviews of movies that expose the wicked and glorify the good. We want to find stories that have masculine male characters who slay dragons and feminine female characters who are worth saving and who need saving. We want stories and creators who have an artistic prowess that shames and defeats our enemies. And we are tired of the nihilistic moral ambiguity of modern day entertainment, and we want stories that change people, that inspire people towards goodness, towards truth, and beauty. And most importantly, we want to see the entire entertainment industry bow the knee to King Jesus. Yes, we are Christians, and we are unashamed of that. And if you'd wish to support us in our mission, head over to patreon.com/thepowellbros, or follow the link in the show notes. There, you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews. Now, on with the show.
All right, welcome back to The Powell Bros Movie Reviews. We are back again with another review this month. And, I hope you guys are getting adjusted to the shift of our channel with all these being on one channel. Hopefully some of our listeners from the other one, from our other channel, have found their way over here. If not, farewell. Godspeed. We are reviewing a movie, and this is my pick. I picked this one. We're pretty far down the line. I can't remember what we're at now. Maybe seven, eight?
Probably, yeah.
Seven or eight. This is probably my seventh or eighth pick. And, yeah, Trent, what are we reviewing? And give me your initial thoughts of this movie.
Right. Cause so I know we are reviewing.
Excited to tell me what your initial thoughts are.
All right. I'm excited to tell you my initial thoughts. We are reviewing 2010's The Kung Fu Kid. Just kidding. The Karate Kid, okay? The Karate Kid, Jaden Smith. All right. What if Daniel, but I can't remember his last name, was black and went to China and got beaten up by...
It's because that movie was forgettable. The original was forgettable.
How could you say that? Like, I understand that you're...
Okay, keep going.
Gen Z, but... Okay. I mean, forgettable. That movie's like the most memorable movie. Oh my gosh. Okay.
This is the most memorable.
No. Yes, memorable for a lot of reasons. Okay, you want to hear my initial thoughts? So I'm gonna take a cue from the villains of this movie, and I'm gonna show no mercy. Okay. I think this movie sucked.
How?
I did not like this movie at all. I'm sorry. I tried to be biased and watch this not from the perspective of it being a Karate Kid remake, reboot, sequel, whatever you want to call it.
It's a sequel. They're all new characters. That's why they're making another one.
No, it's a reboot.
It's bringing them together.
No, I was gonna. Not, I was gonna start this podcast
the same. Yeah, but go ahead.
I was gonna start this podcast wearing like a castle hat or something, but I didn't have one. So, I don't even know where to start with this. Okay, Tobias, you've had some great picks this season, but this was not one of them. I'm sorry. For some reason you're all of a sudden okay with race swapped characters.
This isn't a race swapped character. This is a new show.
But the whole movie is about his race.
He's
black.
What'd you say?
He's oppressed because he's black. They move out of Detroit.
No.
He gets bullied. No, no, he no, gets no.
he had to be black because he had to be fatherless. That's why they chose a black kid.
Yeah. He's okay. But I guess his dad passed away.
He's not
okay.
Oppressed because he's black.
Yes,
he's oppressed
he is.
Because he's
yes,
not Asian.
Yes. No, the kids pick on him because, well, there was that blonde
different.
Kid that showed up for 2 seconds and then never showed up again in the whole movie. There was one
he
other
was
white
his
kid
friend,
in China.
Yeah.
Yeah, for one scene, and then you never see him again. And okay.
It's because he didn't know. Okay, but the white kid knew Chinese. Like, the white kid grew up there, so he basically was Chinese.
Oh, my. Okay. But no, he's black, and he gets put on. He doesn't get
it's
the
like,
girl.
It's like America right now. It's like America right now with all the Mexicans coming in, and we're like, no, you're not American, so get out. So we're bullying them just like the Chinese people were bullying Jaden Smith.
And so you think we should just be accepting of the illegal immigrants and just let them do
no
participate in our MMA
okay.
fights?
Okay. You're making it about race. It's not about race.
No, it is. The whole movie is about race. Yes, her parents don't want their daughter dating him because he's black.
Because he's not.
He's a bad
influence.
Because
he's a bad
because
influence.
Because he's black. Because he's black.
Because he's a bad influence. He is
they
actually
wouldn't care
a bad
if he
influence.
Was if he was Chinese.
If he was white. If he was white. Okay. If he was Chinese and a bad influence, they would have said the same thing. He behaves
so you're saying,
horribly. Okay.
The bully okay. Isn't a bad influence on her. And all of a sudden, like.
She doesn't hang out with him.
But the reason that he goes and beats up Jaden Smith, what's his name? Dre, is because he likes the bully. Obviously, likes the girl, and he was jealous.
Well, yeah,
which was the
but
which was
she
the
doesn't.
Plot in the first movie,
she's not friends with him though.
Fine, okay, we're getting off track here. okay, set aside the fact that it's a Karate Kid movie. Without karate, I tried to give this a fair shot. There are elements of the movie that are really good. Okay, Jackie Chan is really good. He's the best part of the movie. I will say that.
Agreed.
His character had a lot of depth. I would say he even had more depth than Mr. Miyagi. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I will grant that. The problem that I have with this movie, among other things, forget that it's a Karate Kid movie.
Okay.
Is that we're watching a bunch of 11-year-olds beat each other up, and we're supposed to care about them, and they make this huge tournament, like as if it's like the Super Bowl of karate, of kung fu, whatever. and they set up this huge event.
It's a
where,
cultural
you know, with, like,
thing.
A Megatron, Trent. Where like the whole like,
it's cultural.
Jumbotron and like the slow-mo replays and everything. We're watching 11-year-olds beat them. If I want to see kids beat each other up, I'll just go watch my kids do it.
It's because karate is so ingrained in the culture of China that it is the Super Bowl of China.
Exactly. If they were older, it would make sense.
No,
if they were older.
They don't even have to
like,
be older.
That's what makes the
we have
Karate Kid
college
so good
football. We have
that,
high school okay. football. We have little
we
kid
don't
football.
Have peewee football on live TV.
All those are on live TV. People are
not peewee
huge
little kid football
college. What
okay? Peewee football. Peewee's like 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds. I don't know. Okay. No. Okay. That's my problem is that they're the original Karate Kid, you were following teenagers. They were like 16, 15-year-olds that you know where and I think the bullies were like a little bit older maybe, but like they were at like a good age where it makes sense for them to learn how to fight. They're in high school. They have high school problems. They have things that are more relatable. With this kid, there's nothing relatable, and all he does is whine the whole movie. He's really annoying. He's a terrible actor. He tries to act like his dad, fails at it miserably. I couldn't stand it.
Okay, you are so blinded by the hate for this movie. Like, you are so blinded. Oh, my gosh. He's bad. You know why he's bad? And it actually works really well. I don't find him annoying. I because I see why he's being bad, and it works well.
Because he
it's
doesn't
because
have a father.
He doesn't have a father.
I know.
That is
know.
The point of this entire movie. That is the point. The point is this is a kid without a father going to a new country, gets bullied. That's what this movie is. And then he finds Mr. Miyagi or whatever who his name is in this movie. And he Han. Becomes his father figure. Like, that is the point Mr. of this Han. Movie. And they tell that story really, really well.
I will grant that to you in some senses. I don't think the story's told well.
Because, okay, if he was fatherless, if he was fatherless and was acting well-behaved, that wouldn't make sense. But they're wanting to tell a story of a fatherless kid who is horribly misbehaved and doesn't know how to be respectful, doesn't know how to respect his mom. His anger is out of control. He's an annoying little brat.
So is his mom's anger.
And man, what is Jackie Chan's name in this movie?
Mr. Han? Is it Han?
Han, yes. Han sees this right away and wants to make a difference. Like, he's like, this is a fatherless kid. He needs help. I'm going to help him. And then that's where we get the premise of the entire movie. And by the end of the movie, I don't want to get into the third act too much, but by the end of the movie, he's not the same kid from the beginning because Jackie Chan was working him through all his problems throughout the entire movie and was helping him to have control, not be angry, have a father, because he was a kid that needed a father who needed someone to tell him what to do and to lead him and to set an example, and he found someone, and that's what he does throughout the movie. That's what the movie is. Like, nothing to do with race. Has nothing to do with he's supposed to be annoying.
Okay.
Like I don't think it's over the top. Okay. I don't think it's so annoying that like, oh, I can't watch this movie because he's so annoying. Like, no. I think it's well managed. I 100% disagree. I think his acting is great in this movie. I don't have any problems with his acting.
Okay. That's fair.
I think he's a fun goofball little kid. And I think he does it well.
Okay. Well, agree to disagree. I don't think he's a good actor. he is trying to copy his dad's mannerisms.
But it works. Like, there's nothing in it.
That's the thing. I think it comes off as disingenuous.
It's because you know who his dad is. If you didn't know who his dad is, you wouldn't think that. Any kid is going to do.
But
any kid that acts, any kid actor, that if you watch any kid actor, they are behaving as their parents would, whether you know their parents or not. So you can't really, that's a completely biased opinion. You can't say, I see too much of his dad in him. Like, that's dumb. Like, that doesn't work. You can't say that.
But if
he's a 12-year-old kid.
I know, that's the problem, is he's too young. He's too young. That's my point.
No, it's fine. You can have little kids in a movie and it works fine. Like, it's because you know who his dad is. If you didn't know who his dad is, you wouldn't have a complaint about it. That's why I'm telling you, no 12-year-old actor has their own identity in their acting. There's none. They're all deriving all their emotions and their way they're behaving from their parents. Like, 100% fact. But you just don't know their parents.
Fact. Okay. I don't know. Do you have another example? I mean, I can't think of really any other 12-year-old actors that, or like, performances at least that stand out. I don't know.
I mean, the Goonies, that's
well, I know, but like,
Sandlot.
Right. So, like, how, in what way are they acting like their parents? Or, like, I don't understand.
Because they are acting like their parents.
Well, you're just assuming that they are. But like, they're actors.
They would be
okay.
But they're kids. Okay. They're not actors.
Okay.
They're kids.
All right. This is getting this is completely off track. Okay. All right. Okay. Fine. I will grant, if you think he's a good actor, it's fine. I will grant that to you. He's a kid, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if he was a little older, I'd be more okay with it. I just think he's too young for this role for this character.
I think, as far as Jaden Smith, the other kids look way older than him,
and too, which is another problem. Like, he's smaller. He looks like he's 9 when he's like 11. He's supposed to be 11. Yeah. He's up against all these other kids that are like, looks like they're like 13 or maybe 12, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I just had a problem with it. Like, I had a hard time relating to this kid or caring about this kid. Because I thought his whining was over the top. Like, I get it. He doesn't have a father. I understand that. Though I would prefer if it was like an abandonment from his father, like as from a story standpoint, if like his father completely abandoned him, and that would make more sense. But his father died. What was the, cause they showed how old he was when he died. Do you remember how old, like, was it a recent thing or what?
Because
it was high. I don't remember. on the height chart.
Right.
It was like highest up. So
yeah, even then, it's high. Like,
it's not like he grew up without.
It was a few years. It was a few years because I think it was it was like chin level, and then he marked his head.
Okay.
So it would have been a few years. So he was growing up without a father, especially at those ages. Like, I mean, you know, 8 to 11, you could figure. So,
okay,
it was a time of growing up without a father.
I will grant, like, this is up against the Karate Kid. Yes, I like the Karate Kid. It is an older movie. It's cheesy. It's goofy. Just like this one is. Like, I understand that. This movie though is like almost shot for shot remake, just with different elements. Of course, they're not in New Jersey. They're in Japan, or not in LA,
China,
or China. Yeah, he relocates. Or sorry, in the Karate Kid, they relocate from New Jersey to LA. So they're not in LA, but they're in China. Similar, mm-hmm. You know, he goes from living somewhere
Detroit
to like a foreign place in Detroit. So. What do you think about like kind of the elements of obviously the wax on, wax off is prominent in this, where it's the jacket on, jacket off, which obviously if you want, you can unpack the, like what the significance of that is.
Right. Yeah. So, like, I think it was much better integrated than the original Karate Kid did. I've seen the Karate Kid once, the original. I've said I'm never watching this again. This was dumb. So here we are with this movie, and I think they did much better job because you get in the beginning of this movie, they come up with their premise of like, okay, what's this kid doing that really annoys his mom? He leaves stuff lying around, particularly his jacket. He leaves lying around, and one of the times that he leaves it on the ground, he argues with his mom in front of Han, and Han sees this, and then he, behind her back with a ton of attitude, throws it on the hanger, the hanger, and then Han watches him, and then Dre sees that he saw that, and then he's a little embarrassed, and then not long later, Jackie Chan, after the kid gets beat up, and he needs to stand his ground, Han takes him to the kids that beat him up, their master or whatever you call him, and basically the guy's like, you're not leaving here unless one of you guys fight, and then he's like, we're not fighting, but the kid will fight at the tournament, and he's like, deal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait,
so then
can I ask a couple questions, kind of come back. So like, what was your opinion of, and I didn't really necessarily understand this, so like Dre, he has a confrontation at the basketball court with the kids.
Yeah,
he gets beat up, and then later on he pranks them by like pouring water on them or something, which I think I'm pretty sure that happened in the original, so it's similar. But as far as like how it was done, and then they chases him down and then runs into Mr. Miyagi or Mr. Han.
Yeah.
How do you think that was all well handled?
Yeah, so there's actually one other time that they bullied him. They bullied him at school, and they took his backpack and, like, emptied it out and threw all his stuff all over the ground and kicked it and told him to, because he was watching the girl sing or some, or play the violin, and they're telling him to stay away from her. And then
and you would say that's their motivation, like, that there's a jealousy, or at least the one
yeah so like the older kid is like the leader of the group, of the friend group, and and so they're all just submitting to him, and so that's highly the motivation is the girl. And and then after the park, and then that, I think that was when he throws the water on them, because he just saw the opportunity. He's a young dumb kid. This is very early in the movie, so we see his ignorance and stupidity in that, and then throws it and runs away, and then he gets beat up right in front of Han's office. And but yeah, I mean, I think it worked well. It connected him to Han. Of course, he's going to run home. He doesn't know anywhere else to go. He doesn't know the place, so the one place he knows is home, so he runs there, and Han's office is, like, connected to his house, so
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think it worked. Did you have issues with that?
I guess not really. I don't know. It just seemed, like I said, like it was like a dumb thing to do. Like, he's already been bullied by these kids, and now he's gonna prank them and not expect to get the crap beat out of him. I was like,
he wanted revenge. I mean, it was definitely revenge motivated, not thinking straight. And like we said, like, this is the beginning of the movie. We've already seen that he's young, wild, dumb kid. So I didn't think it was, like, that out of character for him to do that. Like, I don't think it was out of character for him.
The problem is, I was rooting for the bullies at that point. I'm serious.
Anyway, let's get on with the story with the
jacket. So the relationship with the girl. Do you think that they had good chemistry, or that was well handled? Because I don't think it was at all.
Well, that was pretty awkward.
Yeah. Which comes with,
I don't think,
having 11-year-old actors. But yeah, good.
No, I don't think. I think there was definitely some issues there. Just awkward chemistry. Because they were young, and I mean, they had him kiss, and that was weird, and the dancing scene, that was weird. But I think that is, because they
playing
were
low.
Young.
Shoddy go.
But, I mean, I assume, you didn't like it.
No, I didn't think they had any chemistry at all. I think it was just, like, really, like, forced.
There were definitely scenes where she, like was, like, acting like, oh, he's cute, I like him.
Yeah, like,
I think you definitely see that. You can see that he recognized that he liked her in, like, an 11-year-old, 12-year-old boy would. But I think they did kind of try to make it like a grown-up relationship, which made it awkward and weird.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why it was awkward. It's because they treated it as if they were older teenagers, and so that's why that didn't work. All right, let me get to the jacket. We need to get to the jacket.
Okay.
So he's leaving the jacket on the ground all the time, and his mom gets mad at him, and he does the attitude thing. Han sees. And then after Han agrees to train him, what he has him do is put his jacket on, take it off, hang it up,
put it on the ground, or
throw it on. He has him put it on, take it off, throw it on the ground, it up, hang it up, take it off, put it on, take it off, throw it on the ground. Whatever. I think I messed that up.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he's
having him do this because that's what he did. Because he had attitude with his mom, and he even at one point, as he's doing this over and over again, because he's having him do it for days, and he stopped doing it with attitude. He's like, no, do it with attitude. And so then Dre realizes, oh, he's having me do this because I was mean to my mom. And he's like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And he's like, keep doing it. And he's like, essentially your punishment is not over. You have not, you need to learn your lessons, your lesson. Mm-hmm. You haven't quite learned it yet. You say you have, but you haven't. And so I thought that was really great that he had him keep doing it. And then of course we learned, just like in the original, this was just a way for him to get into the motions of some karate moves. And then just like that, I mean, he's like basically a professional karate kid.
Yeah, just like that. That's all he had to do. Figured it out. And then
he'll
get to the backflip.
Because Dre says, I'm done with this. After he'd done it for days, he's like, I'm done with this. I'm sorry, I'm done. I've learned my lesson. You won't give up. And then he's like, okay, he hit his breaking point. He's mm-hmm. he's actually repented. And so then he shows him, no, I've been actually getting you in the motion of doing these things, but here, look, you need to be firm here. You need to push with attitude, and that's how you push me with strength. And I don't think it's completely out of, I don't think it's completely insane. He is building strength by doing that over and over and over again. I mean, try doing it over and over and over again. It would really tire you out. He is building strength. If you're going to laugh at it, it's as ridiculous as the wax on, wax off. It's literally as retarded as that. So,
okay.
You can't say it's dumb if you say that wax on, wax off is fine.
No. I will grant that. The wax on, wax off was kind of pointless and a little quirky. But the only reason they do it in this movie is because of that movie. And I will also say they did
but
a
I
little
think they
bit
did
better
it
in this
so
one.
So much better.
But
in this one,
I don't so much better. But the execution was dumb because all of a sudden he's able to do all these moves and has the strength to, go up against Han, and I didn't buy it. I'm sorry.
Kids movie. you gotta.
What? Okay. Oh, that's how we're gonna judge this. It's a kids movie. Okay.
You have to.
Well, we're not kids, okay?
What's it called? The
suspension of disbelief.
Reality. Yeah, suspension of disbelief. You have to.
Would you say?
You don't have to extend it that much here. It's
okay.
It doesn't draw you out of the movie. It's like, no, that's what he was doing.
Okay.
And then, yeah. I feel they could have made him less talented.
But everything from this point on draws me out of the movie, because I feel like all the fighting and the karate moves that he was learning was a little over the top. And then, of course, you have the training montage and stuff.
Well, he does a lot. I mean, he trains him for a while, and he has him doing all kinds of different training moves.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
True. I don't know. Another thing I have a problem with this movie. First of all, I'll ask you, do you think this movie was too long?
Mm-mm. Every time I watch it, I was surprised when you told me how long it was. Because this movie goes by fast for me, and I think it's great.
Yeah, so this clocks in at two hours and 20 minutes.
I literally thought it was an hour and a half movie. I thought it was a short movie. That's how good it is.
Okay, and I'm like, this is the original Karate Kid's 2 hours and 10 minutes. It's a long movie as well. So I will grant that. But this movie, I feel like the scenes drag on way too long. There are multiple scenes that just keep on going and keep on going, and too much dialogue. There's a lot of pointless scenes. I can't think of any at the moment. But the whole segment where he goes off with the girl, they play hooky. She plays hooky from practice. I feel like that was. I get why they did it. I just feel like it went on too long. The dancing and the poker face and low, I don't know. I feel like that was unnecessary. I get it because she got in trouble. Well, no, because she didn't. She comes back and finds out that her rehearsal got changed, or she got text or something. So it wasn't even necessarily because they were out. Like, if she was just practicing and found out her rehearsal was that day, like, it'd still be the same issue. So I don't know.
I feel like she would have been there.
Well, yeah. I guess. I don't know, man. Yeah. So. I just feel like it was just too long. Like, it just kept dragging on. And then the whole tournament was just like, we had to watch like every fight, it felt like. And it was just going on. And then they get to the tournament and Jackie Chan forgot to tell him the rules in this long movie. Tell them the rules of the tournament, and they're like finding out right now. Like, oh, don't run out of the circle. Don't get.
I think
out.
That's
Stay
just
in there.
That's points. Get your point. That's totally in character for him to not know the rules, though.
I guess I don't know.
Yeah,
but that shows like, but like, what was the point of all this preparation if you weren't even prepared? Like, he should have gotten, like, that's the thing where suspension of disbelief. The kid should have lost in the first round. Like, I don't care how much you've trained. Like, he's not going to be good enough to fight all these first. Okay. He's not going to be good enough to fight all these kids that have been practicing kung fu for years. Also, along those lines, do you honestly think it was okay for them to call this the Karate Kid and choose to go to China and do kung fu instead of karate?
I think it's fine. I've never even thought about
it. It's dumb. They don't even do karate, and they even make a comment in the movie about it. His mom like says like something about, "Are you just off doing karate?" It's like, "No, mom, it's kung fu."
Yeah. The reason he was able to beat these other kids that have been training their whole lives because they're not doing real kung fu, and. Mr. Han teaches him real kung fu.
Oh, yes. That's the real kung fu that flows through us like the freaking force.
Yes.
Like Yoda and the Jedi. Yoda is a Jedi. Okay. Sorry. I thought that was a dumb line. I don't like the dialogue in this movie either. Like, I mean, I feel like it's just over the top. A lot of it was unnecessary, and it just drove me nuts.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an issue. I don't have an issue with any of these problems that you brought up. I think
I understand that
biased towards it.
Okay, because everybody else doesn't like long movies.
Yeah, I think another pretty significant point in the movie is the snake we see.
Don't get me started on that one. No.
Oh my gosh.
I forgot.
Come on.
You shouldn't have brought brought it up.
So Mr. Han takes Dre up a giant mountain thing, and they climb a bunch of stairs, they get to this fountain. And the whole time, Dre's like, I'm so thirsty. He's like, there's water at the top. Don't worry. And so they get to the top, and they're staring at this fountain thing. Oh, wait, sorry. Before they get to the fountain, he sees this lady with a snake, and she's moving, and the snake's moving, and they look like they're in unison. And then Dre says, did you see the lady with the snake? How she was copying the snake, and he's like, no, the snake is copying her. You aren't looking close enough, and it's because she's completely at peace within, so she's so calm that the snake is moving with her, and he explains it better than I am, but. I'm pretty sure it's a real Chinese thing to copy snakes.
I guess. I don't know. Just like the kung fu fire.
If you're Chinese, comment on healing our thing fire. And tell us if it's right. Healing fire is definitely real.
The healing fire is real?
Definitely.
Okay.
So, and then check. But it sets a good precedent because precedent? I don't know. It shows us what he's working towards. Like, he doesn't realize it as a character, but it tells us as the audience this what he's going to be working towards is his inner peace, because he's so chaotic. Like, he is chaos, and a lot of this movie is yin and yang. Like, it's chaos and peace. It's a lot about what this movie is, and he's chaos right now, and he has to learn peace. And anyway, so then they see the water.
One note is that Mr. Han told him that this the snake piece thing takes a whole lifetime to learn.
Yes, takes a lifetime to learn unless you're very, very skilled.
And black.
And black. And so anyway.
And 11 years old.
They see the water, and Mr. Han tells him, like, when I was your age, I was standing here with my father, and can't remember if he was saying that, like, he was teaching him kung fu or something, but
yeah, that's where he learned kung fu.
Or yeah, it was a great moment of like of seeing how Mr. Han is becoming a father figure for him, and he's becoming a son figure to Mr. Han, and it was a really good moment in their relationship, and yeah, I thought that worked really well. And then Dre says that, hey, how can you train me how to do the snake thing? And he says, no, that takes a lifetime, and that it requires focus. And then he's like, I am focused. And he's like, your focus needs more focus. Anything on that?
Yep. I don't think so. Then he drinks the water by shoves his face into it. I remember that.
Yep.
I mean, it shows still like he doesn't get it. Like, there's still like disrespect there.
That's what I was saying too. Like, with the snake, is like we see that, like, we see what he's working towards, but he's not there at all. Like, he's not ready at all. Like, this is like the beginning of his training. It's one of the first things he does outside of the jacket. And we also start seeing he is starting to have respect for his mom more, because he was always disrespectful. He's starting to have respect for her. And so we're starting to see some changes, but he's still not getting it. He's still not there. He's still not focused. He's still not at peace. He's still angry, and his motivation is revenge. Like, his motivation for learning kung fu is revenge. He wants to learn it so that he can beat up the bullies. That's why he wants to learn it. And I think that's an important note to have as well. There's a point where Mr. Han is fixing a car, and it's kind of something he's been doing throughout the movie, and eventually he
doesn't drive it. He just is fixing it.
Yep, just fixing it. Doesn't drive it. It's in his living room because there's no street parking, and so there's a scene where he is, Dre's coming into his house, and he hears smashing, and then he sees that Han is smashing the car with a hammer. And
well, his mom texted him, and he's like, she's like, I need you home ASAP. And then he goes to Mr. Miyagi's house, or Mr. Han's house.
Yes. Probably because he heard the smashing, would be my guess.
I don't think he had heard. I don't think he was expecting to find anything. What?
Yeah, I know. I was just joking.
Was there a joke? What's smashing?
No, never mind.
What?
Nothing. Anyway. Stay. So this is another great moment in the movie. We are learning a lot more about Mr. Han in this moment. We learn that he used to be like Dre when he was older, but younger than he is now, way older than Dre, but younger than he is now. And he was an angry man.
Careless.
Angry. Yep. And he was in an argument with, he was in a car. So he was married and he had a kid and they were in the car and him and his wife were arguing. And because of that, he lost control of the car and got in a crash and his wife and son died. And so we learned that, like, his son is, like, essentially the same age as Dre. And so we're seeing, like, Dre is actually kind of becoming, like, a son figure for him because he needs that, too, because he has this hole in him because of what he did and lost his son and lost his wife. And so at this moment, we're learning, oh, just as much as Dre needs Mr. Han needs Dre. And I think it was another great step in their relationship and just seeing them grow. And I thought it was really well done.
So do you, okay. So do you think that their relationship was well developed up till now? Like a father son relationship, that it wasn't just master or teacher student relationship.
I think so. Like before this moment, I think he was like a father figure for Dre, but we didn't really see Dre as like a son figure. Like I said, but with the water, like at that moment, we kind of saw a little bit of it, but just barely touching the surface. And then by this point, we're learning, oh, no, like it's more than a teacher-student relationship. And he does kind of see him as a son and or more so, like we see that more so now.
Yeah, because I think my issue
is growing.
Yeah. My issue is that the only thing that we have for Dre is that, okay, his father's not around. Yes, his father's dead. But that's it. Like, I don't see him. I don't see a father hunger. I just see he's acting up. He's being annoying and obnoxious. And I think that there's a way to do
that
well
is...
where you go to, well, yes, but it comes off as this kid's just unlikable. So like, I didn't like the character. I didn't care about him. There wasn't like a save the cat moment. There was nothing that I like wanted. I mean, I'm sure there maybe was, but it wasn't one that like made me like this character of Dre. Uh-huh. He was just an annoying, stubborn, ungrateful kid. And maybe that's the parent in me. I don't know. Where it's just, and then when you introduce Han, it was more of like, oh, he wants to beat up these bullies. And so, hey, he's going to, you know, use Han. And so they have like moments together, but they don't really have that. Like they have it, the whole, you know, his whole time picking up the jacket and so forth. And I feel like that goes on. And I'm just trying to think, like, were there moments within that period of the movie?
So the reason I think he's doing it is because he sees the kid as a disrespectful kid and he wants him,
yes,
he wants to help him not be, because he doesn't have a father to correct
that's the
him.
Thing.
So
Okay. Right. But like, I didn't get that from the movie. Like you can assume that, and like, you can like, it wasn't.
Well, I think because he's acting as a kid, because he's acting as a kid without a father, that is the evidence.
Okay. Maybe.
All right. Moving on.
Okay.
Did you have any other questions?
No.
Otherwise,
no,
we could probably
fine.
Get into the third act here.
Probably should.
Yeah. So, he goes to the tournament, and I think at this moment, like, his motivations are still the same. He's going there because he wants to beat up these kids. Like, he essentially hates them and just wants to beat them up because they were mean to him and embarrassed him and hurt him and all that stuff.
Also, the bully's kung fu master is like the worst human being ever.
Yeah.
Like, and like, and the original Karate Kid as well. Like the bully's karate master was over the top, just evil. Mm-hmm. And this guy's over the top evil. So like I a point off for both movies for that, because it was too generic and it was just not well earned. It was just, he's just evil for evil's sake, and there's no reason for why he's that way. He just is.
Yeah.
Just generic bad guy, I guess. I don't know.
I think that's fine, though. I don't have a problem with a villain being evil for evil's sake. Like, I think that's actually really good. I don't think we have to have a motivation. We don't need to know why he's evil. We just know that he's evil.
Not necessarily know why he's evil. It's
we don't need to know why the dragon is a dragon.
But it is a human character. Well, okay, sure. Fine. Okay. I'll grant that.
Yeah.
To some extent.
We just know that he's evil.
But he was like, no. It's cartoonish where he's like over the top, just awful, terrible. Like he abuses his students, like right in front of other people. Like he does. And so it's like, that's unbelievable. Like that. I don't believe that a Kung Fu master would be that. I guess that's where I'm saying.
Yeah, they could have had him hide it a little better or something. I guess that makes sense. Right. Anyway, so he goes to the tournament. He starts fighting some of the kids. Before that, I should mention, so there was a scene, this was probably the transition into the third act, was Mr. Han gives him a uniform or something, I don't know what you should call it, and they just had a nice moment. And
whoa, Bruce Lee wore this!
And, it's just, it was like a, yeah, it was him saying like, I think you're basically as ready as you'll ever be. And then he gave him that. And I think you're prepared to do this and face this challenge. And he goes into it. He starts fighting some of the kids, and then the evil teacher tells one of the students to break Dre's leg, and the kid doesn't really want to, but he does anyway. And so they cheat right off the bat. And
he wins the first, right? He fair and square wins the first round.
Yep.
And I think it's like the second or third round or something. That
he
competes with.
And then he gets through that. That kid got disqualified. That's why. Yeah. So that kid gets disqualified. So then he automatically goes into the finals because of that one. He had to,
we're going that far. Yeah.
Very come back out. And because he went
well, no,
he had to get it. He had to get up and prove that he was able to fight. So he gets up, proves he's able to fight, and so they let him fight into the finale. Because he goes into the hospital area
after the semifinal. After the kid
breaks the leg, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. So he loses the fight because
So the kid gets disqualified. So then he goes to the hospital area. Doctor says, "Sorry, kid, you're out. Like you got to give up. You did good." And Mr. Han is like, "You did do good, kid." And this was a great moment. Like we really see the change in him, and we see that he doesn't want to go out there for the wrong reasons anymore. He doesn't want to fight for the wrong reasons anymore. He doesn't want to fight just to beat them up. He wants to fight because he has to finish this battle. Like he's knocked down, but that doesn't mean he's out of the fight. And he's like, I need to get back up. Like, just like you said, Mr. Han, when life knocks you down, you can choose whether or not to get back up. And he's like, I'm trying to get back up. Why won't you help me? And just a great moment between the two of them. And he does help him up. And he's reluctantly, but because he's worried about the kid because he cares about him and he doesn't want him to hurt himself. But he does help him up anyway. And so we see this big change in him. And because these kids, like he was even saying, like, Han was saying, like, you've proven yourself, like, these kids aren't going to bully you anymore. Like, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, like, they're not going to see me like that, and they are going to bully me.
Earn their respect.
Yeah. And
see,
and so he pushes through, and Mr. Han gives him the fire bulbs and heals him up enough to fight on. He goes out there, fights, and
can I make one comment?
Is it the first round that he?
It's okay. So he loses the first point.
Yeah.
Gets
okay,
the second point. But like, this is where this movie takes me out, because I agree with everything you said. Like, it was great character development. It was a great character moment where he's up against the ropes. He should quit, but he doesn't, because he knows he needs to go finish the fight, earn their respect. I get all that. The problem is, this kid's 11 years old, and any parent or his teacher, Mr. Han, anyone that lets a kid like that's in that state go out and fight should be arrested. That kid could break his leg and never be able to walk again. Like,
let
it's
go
ridiculous.
The fact that
it takes
they're
me
young.
Out of the movie. No, that's my problem. It's like there are elements of this movie that are good, but the fact that they chose to go with an 11-year-old kid, it just takes me out of it. Like, it makes no sense to me.
I think it works fine.
Okay.
It's
but like, the mom is cheering him on as his leg is broken. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Okay.
I would cheer my kid on. Like, keep going.
Not as a
fight.
Mom, like, mom would. Okay, whatever.
Go yeah. No, I guess it's
final fight. Yes.
So
go ahead.
Yeah. So they go back and forth. I can't remember. But yeah. they do both have a point at one point, and then the teacher calls the evil teacher calls timeout, mm-hmm. calls the kid over. He says, "Break him. I want you to break him." And so they go back out. They fight, and the bully kid does a giant spin move and lands and kicks his leg really hard and breaks his leg. And so he's down and out, and the guy's like counting, like a MMA fighter, I guess. I don't know. And
what's he counting? Yeah.
And then he asks him, you know, are you able to fight? And Han asks, are you okay? And he very reluctantly gets up. Was there any words exchanged, or does he just get up and then go into the last battle?
I think he goes in. I think maybe a fist bump or something, because I think the kid, like the bully, started to realize, okay, like, this kid's got some grit.
Yeah.
Like, he's tough.
Because it took a ton out of the kid to get up and stand up on one leg to do one last fight. Yeah. And great moment. The kid runs at him. Oh, wait. Sorry.
You forgot one point.
I forgot the most important point. So he stands up.
Okay.
And he takes a deep breath. He has a really great moment of peace. And, I mean, everything that's worked up to this moment has been really great in character development, and we're seeing him changing. We saw him change when he decided to go back out and do the final fights, to get the respect, to not quit, and, to fight for the right reasons, which is what Han had been training him to do the whole time. And stands there with peace, and he starts moving his head, and then the mean kid starts moving his head too a little bit, and we see that he is doing the snake move on the kid, and I think it works. I think it makes sense. It's the character development that we've been working for the whole time, and then the guy says, go. The kid breaks out of it, runs at him. Dre spins around, does a backflip kick to the kid's face, knocks him out, and
wins.
And then everybody is excited, and his mom says how proud she is of him, and Han says how proud he is of him. There's a the kid, when they're bringing the trophy up to him, the bully kid wants to give him the trophy, which is a great moment for him, saying like, mm-hmm. I have respect for you now. Yep. We also see that the bully kids all bow to Mr. Han.
That's a good moment.
And respect as well. And
yeah, that was well. Yeah. That was well earned.
Yeah. That was the end.
Yes. Pretty much. Gets the girl as well. We didn't even talk about that because her parent also, you know, steps up and goes to. He asks Mr. Han to write out the Chinese for the thing he wants to say to her dad, because her dad doesn't want him hanging out with her. And so he goes to their house, talks to the dad in Chinese, and basically mm-hmm. says, "I'm sorry, like I've been a bad influence," and says repentance. And then, you know, since
they're not racist, they said, "My daughter told me that she made a promise to you, and we keep promises in our house. Because we're not racist and we think you're a good kid, especially since you did this thing.
We were just racist earlier.
No. All right, any problems with the third act finale?
If this movie came out today in 2025, you would hate it and you would bash it. And you would tear it apart. You wouldn't even see it in theaters.
Anyways, thoughts on the finale?
The backflip was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, and so was the snake. But I'll grant that I gave that to you. It's fine. Well, I told you they made a point to say it takes a lifetime to learn this skill, and somehow he's able to find this inner peace and do this move and make the
kid.
He was
being rhetorical. He's like, it takes a lifetime of karate.
No, it's not karate. It's kung fu.
Kung Fu. It was rhetorical.
Okay.
Fine. Wasn't literal but lifetime. Where'd he learn that?
Well, yes, and the where'd he learn that backflip?
He's a little black kid. Of course, he can do a backflip.
Okay. I don't know. There were good elements to this film. There were.
It's a fun, lighthearted, good story. Fun, lighthearted movie with deep elements of family and friendship and I think it's really well made movie. All right. Let's rate it. I'll hear yours first.
I don't want to be mean. I have a score that I went into that I have. I'm going into this. I mean, I think it's generous for where I'm at. Okay. Although, let me say the original Karate Kid, I'd probably give it like a 7. Or so. This movie, okay, I don't know. Like, do I remove the fact that it's a remake? I don't like remakes typically at all. I think they're pointless, soulless, and dumb. Usually. I think that is an element of this movie, because you are copying and pasting from an original story. Which is what they did. Like this is like a shot for shot. Like almost everything about this movie was done in the original Karate Kid. So, do I take that into account? I don't know.
Maybe. But they're making this new one to show that it's not a remake. It's just a similar story that was told in a different country.
What? The new movie?
Because they're making the new movie. With Jackie Chan and the original characters, so which I'm so excited for. Too bad they're not bringing back Jaden Smith. Oh well. that part.
I wonder
is
what he'll
joke.
Be wearing on his head if they.
All right, just give me your number.
Okay, 4.7.
4.7
is below average film for me. I'm serious. I can't get past. So there's so many elements of this movie I can't get past. Like, yes, everything you said is true. Good story about family, fatherhood, fatherlessness. It was not well executed for me. You have those elements, but if you don't execute it well, it doesn't work. The kid was too young. He annoyed me the whole time.
One of my most rewatched movies. This is up there for one of my most rewatched movies. I've seen this probably well over a dozen times.
I know we watched it when it came out 10, 15 years ago. We watched it a lot. We owned it. I get that.
I had a PSP with the movie on it.
Oh yeah,
and I would watch it over and over again on my PSP.
And I will grant that to you.
I've watched it a handful of times since then.
Okay,
I was including those times back then.
And I give that to you. Like, I'm okay. Like, I love that you have a movie that you appreciate,
but anyway,
and you watch a lot and everything. I'm trying to be honest about I'm at with this film. Ask Rebecca. I could not stand watching this film. I liked it when it came out 15 years ago. Yes. Okay. I will say that. There were elements of it that I enjoyed, but rewatching it now, I just couldn't get through it.
You're just so blinded by the hate from everybody else, because everybody else hates this movie.
I did a lot of research for this one, and there were actually a lot of people that went back and said, "Oh wow, this is actually pretty good," and there are elements of it that are better than the original. I think there are people that recognize that there are things that this movie did do better than the original Karate Kid, and I will grant that.
But this is going to be our most disagreed upon one.
Well, totally. Well, of course it is.
It's better than Surf's Up, better than Spider-Man, which would probably not better than
Spider-Man.
Jojo Rabbit.
Okay, we need to watch Spider-Man again.
We gave Spider-Man a 7.4, Trent.
Oh, that's pretty low.
It is. We gave Jojo Rabbit an 8.5. I'm right in between those two with this one.
Okay.
I'm thinking probably a solid 8.
Okay. And I respect that opinion. I'm trying to be honest, but also generous. 4.7 is generous for me.
I don't even know how we've closed that gap, honestly.
Well, okay, mine's closer to a 5. You got 8, so that's 6, 7. And wait, what's in between 5 and 8? It's 6.5.
Yeah, it'd be 6.5.
I will give it a 6.5. How about that?
I guess we can just meet in the middle. That's fine.
I mean, that's higher than the middle.
It deserves better.
But no, that's the thing is, how could you? I don't. It doesn't, because it took a beloved movie and then completely copy and pasted it, but set in just a different time, different world, and then put an 11-year-old kid in place of a teenager, and gave this kid teenage problems and teenage love story when this kid should be off playing video games or something.
Okay.
What?
I get that. I get that you think he's too young. I think there are elements of it.
But like, that's the whole
thing. It's like, yeah, he is a little too young.
That ruins it for me. That's the problem.
Okay. If he was a high schooler, what would you give this movie?
Oh, it'd be way better. I would probably still six or seven.
Almost all your problems are because he's young. And I can easily look over that and see the story as what they're telling. Did they choose the wrong age? Sure, but the whole movie, I think that can easily be looked over.
Well, but that's the thing, is I don't think, because I think the whole movie rides on the fact that he is
also if he was any older.
I think seeing a teenager deal with fatherlessness is something that is worth like sort of telling, and I think it could have been done a lot better. Yeah. I do still think there were some execution problems as far as
which
the relationship
we know why Jaden Smith was cast in it is because Will Smith is the one that produced it, and he wanted his son to be in it, and that's why.
First, who directed it? Was it, Will Smith didn't direct it, did he?
No.
Okay, it was it's just a producer.
No, I don't know.
Well, yeah, he wanted his son. I don't even know how this movie came about. Do you know? I mean, we should probably finish up. Just, but like
probably the same way Black Annie came about.
Black Annie, okay.
Which I did not see, and I'm sure that's a terrible movie because that's about racism. This one was not about racism.
It definitely was. But
there was the reason they did it was probably racist, but it was not. It did not seep into the story at all.
Okay. I will remember you. I will remember that you said that after we watch all the ridiculous movies coming out this year.
All right. What was I going to look up? Oh yeah,
I don't know.
See who
directed. Anyways, I don't know if he was older. Would I give it a higher score? Yeah, probably, because I think the whole fact that he's younger and then he's not. I don't think he's a good actor. He's really annoying. He whines the whole movie. Those are things that I couldn't look past, and that's why it wasn't enjoyable for me, and I didn't have a good experience watching the movie, which is why I gave it a low score.
I think it's easily looked over. It's like watching A Bug's Life. Like you're watching bugs, like, you know.
What? Okay, no. that doesn't. Okay. What do you mean? You can't say that.
They're bugs. They should have been humans.
Okay. What? I don't even know anymore. My brain's fried. Okay.
All right. We'll end this. Our review of The Karate Kid 2010. A little bit of a hot mess between the two of us here.
It's okay.
We got through it. We hope that was entertaining. It's probably going to be the most entertaining one we've had.
Probably.
With the disagreements. 6.5 is what we came to, unfortunately. I was really hoping you would.
Yes, unfortunately, because it's too high.
No. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we hope you guys enjoyed this. Hope you guys enjoyed our review.
Absolutely.
And we thank you guys for listening. We have tons of stuff on our Patreon if you want to support us there. Patreon.com/ThePowellBros. And, yeah, hope you enjoyed this. Hope you benefited from it and help you to see how to discern movies, whether Trent's style, my style, or a mixture of both.
Yes.
But either way, remember to glorify God and watch good movies.
Yes.
See ya.
Bye-bye.